Today we are surrounded by new hope. Remember 6 years ago when Mount St. Helens erupted, spreading destruction in the beautiful Cascades? Yet also remember that within 3 months there were bits of green foliage reappearing. It was a sign of hope to all the people who witnessed that new life. People familiar with the desert also experience a similar kind of resurgence of new hope and life when the rains finally fall and the desert bursts once more into blossom and forms a glorious, brilliant carpet of flowers. It's no wonder that the prophet Isaiah viewed the exiled Jewish people returning from Babylon in captivity, viewed their deliverance by God coming through the desert as if it were the original exodus of those people from Egypt. From his own faith perspective, Isaiah saw this event of liberation as if it were a desert that suddenly had begun to blossom. And now these once helpless exiles, these exhausted prisoners, had new courage as they walked toward freedom. That, for Isaiah, was a sign of new hope. What is interesting is that those same words in Isaiah have a different translation in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It reads, "The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly." To understand what is meant, imagine at this moment that you are living in the midst of winter now in the Midwest of this country, where it is really cold, where all the trees are bare and all the lawns and the grass have turned brown. It's seemingly at this time of the year, it's as if all of life had disappeared and everything looks very bleak. And then one day, while it is still cold and spare, you spot a few crocuses coming up through the snow and the brown grass. They could be purple or white or orange. This crocus that comes up before the very first green leaves of springtime, the first of all the flowers that say that after this long, dark, creative period that we call winter, out of the seemingly dead earth, there comes up this little miracle that speaks of new spring coming out of winter. New hope coming out of dark despair. And this sign of hope that comes into sight is the crocus, like a little messenger of the entire universe, saying that all of our lives are connected with all other lives. The little crocus is a sign of the fact that whatever we do as persons really does matter to everyone else. It says that even when we do get up out of bed in the morning from the little death of night, we help all of life get up to new life. So imagine what it means when we do even more than get up in the morning. It means that our God is active in our lives. And when our God does act to deliver us people personally from any kind of bondage to our natural enemies, be they winter or death or any kind of fear, as well as the tyrants of our lives, the historical enemies, all of that is a sign of new hope for each of us and others. And that is what we heard in the gospel. It is Jesus himself who is a sign of hope for each of us. The disciples of John came to ask Jesus a question that we tonight might ask ourselves. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we supposed to go on looking for another? And Jesus says, just go back and report to John what you people hear and what you see around you. How you see the blind recover their sight and the cripples walk and the lepers cured, the deaf can hear again and dead people are raised to new life, and the poor people do have the good news preached to them. Now that answer of Jesus is particularly interesting because it was not a direct formal claim on his part to being the Messiah, he who is to come. What Jesus was trying to say in a mysterious way was to urge the disciples of John to listen and to look, to teach the people to listen and to look in everyday life, in what is always going on around them. What do they hear? What do they see each day? And so to make it even more clear, Jesus took the oracles of Isaiah and interpreted them. Because every faithful Jew at that time, at least, knew exactly what was to be expected in the Messianic era. Jesus did not say that he was healing the people. What Jesus said was that God is active and is healing the people. The Bible does not use miracles as some kind of proof for the divinity of Jesus. The Bible always uses these miracles as signs. Signs for any people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. It means that seen through the eyes of faith, all of these historical events then and now are always interpreted differently because God is seen to be active in all of human affairs. God is active in the life of Jesus as he goes around helping others. That is a sign of hope, just as God is active in our lives today. It is so unfortunate that even today, too many people see Christmas as a time of pretending that we are still awaiting the birth of Jesus. I suppose the poet T.S. Eliot is right when he wrote, "Humankind cannot bear much reality." Unquote. But if we people today continue to lose a sense of reality, then we people continue playing the game of let's pretend. Year after year, we find people who still act as though Christ is about to come as a baby. Children even are told to pray to the infant Jesus. Now, it might be unsettling to some unthinking Christians, but there is no infant Jesus. There was 2,000 years ago. But the infant grew up, became a man, and then died and rose from the dead, and now remains with us now in his glorified presence. That's what we carry about within us now. And that's why it's great harm is done whenever parents and people tell their youngsters, or even people not so young, to play this game of let's pretend. The church, in her wisdom, has never allowed even one official prayer to be addressed to the infant Jesus. Now we can and we should reflect upon the past. But remember that prayer is always realistic. Our prayer is always for the here and now. And that gives us the key to understanding what Christmas is all about. Christmas loses its significance if it does not always point beyond itself to what is promised in the future. And so we cannot allow ourselves today to remain stuck in some kind of sentimentalism of Christmas cuteness. Today we celebrate this feast as people of living faith. We believe that there is now no longer any need to wait, for what was promised at Christmas has already been achieved at Easter. We no longer need delay. We now are joined to the risen Christ glorified, and he waits only for us to share in his risen life so that he can give us the freedom of this new life, that we might be able to live with renewed courage. Another sign of hope today is all of those people around us who have finally discovered how gradually to internalize in their own lives God's mercy and love. That's what James meant in the second reading when he talked about the farmer. As in the prophets, they are models of people who are very patient as they plant seed and then wait for it to take root and await fulfillment of their expectations. They go through a great deal of suffering and hardship in the hope that what they plant as seed will take root. A strong reminder of hope today is found in all those people around us who sometimes have gone down in discouragement, fallen flat on their face in despair, and yet, through the prayers of others, they have come up to new life. The people's lives, such as those, are always signs that all of us people today are connected one to another. The pain of one person can bear the fruit of courage for another person. Courage that is able to be shared with other people by their very example. How one single person is able to live with courage in dark days is always able to help the other people of the world get up when they are down. The pain that opens the heart, as Simone Weil said, the pain that opens our heart always opens it to have more concern for the larger world around us, to understand that today our concern must be for a global community. No longer can we remain insular. And that is why this Advent season reflects today a new perspective of what is happening around us as we await the second coming of Christ that is very gradually coming. And old order is dying around us. A new world is rising like a crocus. There is new life coming into this broken world, whereby we discover how interdependent we all are, how interconnected all of us are one to another. And this new life in this world, it means that all peoples are discovering they are created as equals. We are all created to share this new spring, and how each one of us lives each day makes a difference in how rapidly this development of a new world comes around. Each one of us creates a new spring. So far, the crocuses have always come up.